speak about myself, I'm always talking about my mother as well. So, you know, it's always Jesus, Mary. It's always Jesus, Mary. Okay. So much did the Most Holy Virgin appear immersed in God. In fact, in looking from other points, one could see nothing. So Mary is one with Christ. And this Jesus, Mary, this new Adam and the new Eve is what they breathe this life of Jesus and Mary into Louisa. Now think about that. You know, we've talked about that spiritual DNA of Jesus and Mary. Jesus wants us not just to have the spiritual DNA, but the DNA of Jesus and Mary. Now this is what Louisa possesses. So what does that mean? Our DNA now is so corrupted that we get old, gray-haired, wrinkled, and die. That was never part of God's plan. But because of the fall of Adam and the influence of the evil one, our DNA has been corrupted. Let's look at Genesis 6. The sons of God, these are the fallen angels, looked at the daughters of Adam and took them and had children with them. And that's the Nephilim. There's only a paragraph, if that, a couple lines, if that, of the Nephilim. And God was so, I mean, the DNA was corrupted. He was so upset. He says, I only found one who was pure, basically had a pure line back to Adam and Eve. And everything else had to be wiped out. And Jesus said, as in the day of Noah will be when the Son of Man returns. It all goes back to our DNA. You have to understand this. The corruption of our DNA is what the evil one wants to do. He doesn't want anyone to have a pure line back to him. So who has the pure line to Jesus and Mary? Spiritually, is Louisa. And that's what God is looking for. He's looking for us to have this pure line. So when you're going to see more and more about DNA as time goes on, why they want to change our DNA. Why? They don't want us to be in God's image and likeness. So when our DNA is perfected, and God's going to do that, and that's why he says, I'm going to transmute you inside and out. We're going to be complete. We're going to go back to where we were before the fall. Our DNA will be the way God wanted it from the beginning. Wait till you see what's coming. This is so such a glorious time to be alive. Volume 2, 10:22-99. My daughter, the way of the cross is a way that's strewn with stars. As one walks through it, the stars change into the most luminous suns. Unheard of prodigies. Now, what are the stars? Okay, Jesus says that the saints are like the stars in the sky. The children of the divine will enter into the sun and participate in God. The saints did the will of God. They're like stars in the sky. What Jesus is saying here, the way of the cross is strewn with stars. That's the saints. As one walks through it, okay, as we one with Christ, this is the 24 hours of the Passion that we always focus on during Lent. Those stars change into the most luminous suns. We become like God. And that's what the Father says. You love my son, you love my daughter. He says, I want you to be one with them. And that's through suffering. Again, all of us are suffering. Every one of us suffers. And so therefore, all God is asking is that we surrender. And what will happen? The stars will change into most luminous suns. What shall be the happiness of those souls for all eternity in being surrounded in with these suns? So the saints are going to be happy for all eternity being surrounded by the little children of the holy divine will. That's us. Again, we're nobody. We're nothing. We're the bottom of the barrel. We're that slime that's at the bottom of the barrel. We're nothing. And God says, I want to use nothing to bring about the greatest thing ever. And that's, he saved the best for last. And that's why he's given us this great gift of the divine will. Volume 3, 11, 1, 99, I saw a pillar. Its top touched the heavens. And at the bottom of this pillar, there were priests, bishops, cardinals, and other dignitaries, dignities sustaining this pillar. But to my surprise, I went about looking and I saw that of these people, there were some very weak, some half rotten, some infirm, some full of mud. That's where we are today. So very scarce was the number of those who were in the condition to sustain this pillar. So this poor pillar kept swaying, unable to remain still. So many were the quakes it received at the bottom. And at the top of this pillar, there was the Holy Father, who with golden chains and with rays emanating from his whole person, did as much as he could to sustain it and to chain and illuminate the people. That's the Pope that's coming. You have to understand this. The reason the Vatican is going through what it's going through is God is purifying the church. Listen to what it says. He says, the rays emanating from the Holy Father, he says, will chain and illuminate the people who dwelled at the bottom, although some of them were fleeing so as to have more ease in getting rotten and muddy. And not only this, see, when you leave the protection of the church, and would leave the sacraments and the sacramentals. Nobody can make it. You can't make it. You be under the umbrella of the church always. You're protected. He says, as the Pope did as much as he could to the blind and to illuminate the whole world, and to bind and illuminate the whole world. So what's coming is so beautiful. That this Pope to come, this is what we pray for, this is what we mentioned earlier, this Pope that is coming is going to, and it's not by chance that we're meeting on the Feast of the Chair of Peter. It's not by chance. That God wants us to understand what is coming is so amazing. There will be one church, one flock, one shepherd, as Jesus prophesied at the Last Supper. One church, one flock, one shepherd. It's coming. And the more that we can grow closer to Christ and his church, the happier we're going to be. Volume 3, 2, 12, 1900. I saw my dear good Jesus almost like a shadow, but not clearly. I only saw one hand clearly, and he seemed to be carrying a lamp that was lit. And he dipped his finger in the lamp and anointed the area of my heart. Now think about that. This holy oil is touched to the heart of Luisa. Exacerbated to the summit of the pains of his privation. Okay, so here, her heart fell in love with the sufferings of not being with Jesus. See, that Luisa did not have illumination of the saints or the visions or the apparitions of the saints. What Luisa possessed was a true oneness with Christ that the church is going to talk about later on. The church is going to reveal to us what this means. No saint ever had this. She did not have a vision. She did not have an apparition. She did not have a locution. That's what the saints have. What Jesus gave to Luisa is beyond that. And you'll understand that as you continue to read. At that moment, I heard a voice saying, the truth is light. Jesus is light that the Word brought upon earth. Just as the sun illuminates, vivifies, and fundicates the earth, so does the light of truth give life and light, and it renders the soul fecund with virtues. So again, Jesus is showing us that this great gift of the divine will is the light of truth that gives light and life. This light of the divine will that Jesus speaks to Luisa that we are reading every day. The word of God giving to us, speaking to us every day as we read, study, and put this into practice, renders the souls fecundant with virtues. See, the saints had a virtue or two of Jesus and Mary. They weren't filled with virtue. And that's what's going to happen in the divine will. We're going to be in Christ's image and likeness. That's what's coming. So even though many clouds obfuscate of this light of truth, they are the iniquities of men. In spite of this, it does not cease to send forth glimmers of vivifying light from behind the clouds as to warm souls. It's to enter into the life of God. This is what God wants. And these clouds are clouds of imperfection and voluntary defects. This light, this is what's coming, the illumination, piercing them with its heat, makes them vanish and penetrates freely into the souls. There's no clouds. There's no coldness. There's no darkness with this light. It makes all that vanish, and this penetrates freely into our soul. Like I said, God has saved the best for last. As you read, as you study, as you put into practice these truths, this light, this life, this love of God enters into us. So Louisa says, I comprehended that the soul must be attentive not to fall even into a shadow of voluntary defects that are those dangerous clouds that prevents the entrance of divine light. Okay, so this is very, very important for us. You have to remember what Jesus is saying. To be attentive means to read, to study, to put this into practice. Be attentive. Read every day. Okay. What happens? You will not fall in even into a shadow of voluntary defects. It can't happen. And that are those dangerous clouds that prevents the entrance of divine light. So what happens is, as you read, your worries disappear, your anxieties disappear, your complaints disappear, your negativities disappear. Jesus says this. He says, as you're attentive, as you're reading, you will not fall into a shadow of voluntary defects. And people have said it to me, oh, I'm a worrier. No, you're not a worrier. You keep the demon of worry alive in you by feeding it worry continuously. You're not a worrier. You have used your surrender to the evil one. You want to worry. You don't want to trust Jesus Christ. Well, I don't mean to complain, but yeah, you're a complainer. Don't give me that. You're feeding the demon of complaining. Stop it. You know, it's this way. Being attentive, reading status, you will not fall even into a shadow of voluntary defects. That are those dangerous clouds that prevent what? Jesus, the entrance of divine light from entering into your soul. That gives you the peace, the joy, the happiness of what you're going through. Volume 3, 3, 1900. If the sun had reason and men were able to give this affront to its light and some of them to irritate and not to see its luminosity, reaching such ingratitude as to pluck their eyes out so as to be more sure of living in darkness. Instead of sending light, the sun would send laments and cries of sorrow, such as to turn all nature upside down. That's where most people are, is they would rather pluck their eyes out to not see the truth. I don't want to listen. How many times have you heard that? Well, if you go to church, if you pray the rosary, I don't want to listen to it. If you wear this cap, I don't care. No, it's just more of wanting to live in the darkness instead of living into the light. And so Jesus says, you want to help them? He says, live in the divine will and I will take care of it. See, then you're not at wit's end. You're not fretting. You know, you're not screaming like a mad person. You're saying, Jesus will take care of him. I trust you, Jesus. I have confidence. You are the light. I don't want any more darkness in me. I don't want any more darkness in them. Lord Jesus, you be the light. And Jesus says, good, I'll illuminate them. And that's what God's waiting for. He's waiting for us. Yet what one would have horror in doing to the natural light, men reach such excess as to do to my grace, confronting it in this way by saying, I don't want any grace. I don't want any light. I don't want any peace. I don't want any joy. See, we got always, I mean, this is the one thing, you know, if we trust Jesus in all situations as we began, nothing will bother us. If God will test us, he'll say, what about this situation? And he puts us in a situation. He allows us to be in that situation. And, if we pass that test, he says, good. If we fail that test, he says, well, I gotta give that test back to you sooner or later. You gotta pass this test. I've had some people say, I don't want to pass the test. And it's like, well, then you're going to spend a long time in purgatory for every time that you said no to what God is calling you to. But my grace, always benign with them in the midst of the darkness itself, of the madness of their blindness, always sends glimmers of light, because my grace never leaves anyone. So we, again, don't be overly wrought, afraid, terrified, upset about your family. Surrender them to Jesus and Mary. Jesus be their Lord, Mary be their mother. Save them. They won't listen to me. Save them. God says, get out of the way and I'll take care of it. But once you start worrying, you're an Indian giver. I don't know if you can use that term today. And you take back what you've gave to Jesus, and Jesus says, I can't do anything. You've taken it back. You're worrying about it. You're not trusting me. So we have to keep on surrendering. Jesus, I trust you. Jesus, I trust you. You take care of this, Lord. Please. It is man who voluntarily goes out of it. And grace, not having him within itself, tries to follow him with its glimmers of light. Volume 4, 212, 402. In addition to this, my wisdom is infinite. God knows. He knows us inside and out. He knows us better than we know ourselves. So we have to surrender it to him continuously. And when it sends some cross to a soul for their sanctification, it does not take that soul alone, but 5, 10, as many as I please, so that not alone, but all others together may be sanctified. Your suffering that you're going through, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional suffering, is bringing somebody to heaven. Why? They can't go through it. So Jesus says to us, are you willing to do this for someone else? And when we, this is a heroic soul. When we say, yes, whatever you want, I want, God says, good. Well, how about this person here? Will you take this person too? Yes, whatever you want. How about this one? How do you want to take this one? See, he doesn't want to lose anybody. So he looks at us and he says, do you want them to be sanctified? Do you want to be sanctified? This is the means that I'm going to give to them and to you. And it's always the cross. In fact, at Calvary, I, God, was not alone. In addition to having a priest, I had a mother, I had friends and also enemies. And on seeing the prodigy of my patience, many of them believed in me that as the God I was and were converted. Had I been alone, would they have received these great goods? Certainly not. So here, Jesus is saying your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners, everything that you're involved in, the families that you're with, the neighbors that you're with, he says, I've placed you there so that they will get to heaven. So again, we have to say to Jesus, I trust you. I'm in this situation. I trust you. Let it be done as you say. And again, it's with a block of marble, when you're creating a statue, God wants to create a masterpiece. He has to chip away that which is of no use. And that's what he's doing with us. Little by little, he's saying, I want to change you, to perfect you, and to perfect them. Well, who can say everything Jesus told me or explain the most minute meanings? I said this the best I could, the way I was able to say it in my roughness. I hope the Lord shall do the rest by illuminating them. See, that's what's coming. It's going to come. So that they may comprehend what I have not been able to manifest so well. Okay, again, she's speaking divine truths with human language. And sometimes it's rough. Sometimes it's difficult, but don't worry. Just keep on reading and God will re-explain it to you. Volume 9, 5, 1609. My daughter, the sun is a symbol of grace. When it finds a void, even a cave, a vault, a fissure, a hole, as long as there's an empty space and a little opening through which to penetrate, it enters and fills everything with light. Nor does this diminish its light in other spaces. And if its light does not illuminate more, it is not because of lack of light, but rather because of the lack of space in which to be able to diffuse its light more. So is my grace more than majestic sun. It envelops all creatures, and with its beneficial influence, however, it does not enter into empty space, empty hearts, but empty space as it finds. So much light does it let penetrate into the hearts. So again, the void that we have in our heart is for God. And the unhappiness that we have in our heart is because God isn't there. And what we fill it with is worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. We have to have something. And like I mentioned, my friend who loved to complain, and even on her deathbed, I said, you got to stop this. You got to thank God for what you're going through. And she couldn't. And I said to her, you know, you're going to spend a long time in purgatory. You know, she went to daily mass, she prayed the rosary, she wore the scapular, but she, all that she had was complaints, 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 complaints. And this is, the emptiness, the hurt that she had in her heart was so great that all she had was complaining. That's all that could fill it. If she would let God fill it, she would have been happy. That void that's in all of our hearts can only be filled by God. And Jesus is asking us, do you want my illumination to enter into you, to fill you with peace, joy, and happiness? And when we say yes, then Jesus says, get out of the way. Let me do this. And that's what he shows us in the book of heaven. He needs us to perfect us, and to perfect us, it means to have him reigning in us. The window in order to let the grace of light enter into this void is trust in God. Confidence in God. Jesus, I do. And again, if you don't have that Jesus, I trust in you, begin to develop the prayer, the 3 o'clock hour prayer. Jesus, I trust in you. I have confidence in you. There's no one else I can trust. I can't trust myself. I trust you. I can't trust anybody. I trust you, Lord. This is what God's waiting for. The grace of light that enters into this void of in our hearts is trust in God, distrust of ourselves. Again, continue to be focused on God. How great God is, how beautiful God is, how holy God is. It's to focus on him, not on our misery, not on our worry, our fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, but on him. How great is our God? You know, how perfect he is, how loving he is. And when we focus on that, our negativity, our voids of love are gone. Why? Because we're looking at him, focused on him. Therefore, as much trust as one has, so much does he enlarge the door in order to let the light in and to make more grace. The custodian that keeps the light expands it is peace. You have to be peaceful, full of peace, joyful, full of joy and happy. That's heaven. Jesus, I trust in you. You're my Lord, my Savior, you're my Master. You're my King, you're my God, you're my all. I trust in you. That has to be constant. And when things get tough, you got to turn to him. Jesus, I trust in you. And then that's what God's waiting for. That's what the divine will is all about. It's to enter into this light, to be illuminated by God. Volume 9, 3:8, 19:10. My daughter, the upright intention is light of the soul, fiat. That's like, whatever you want is what I want. Docility, submission, surrender. The upright intention, whatever you want, God, is what I want, is light of the soul. It converts her into divine light, and it gives her the way to operate in a divine manner. It's not just being good and holy and saintly. That was for the saints. God is asking us to enter into his light in a divine manner. That's what he's waiting for. So as you read, as you study, as you put this into practice, it's always fiat. Lord, show me more. Fiat, show me more. I want to learn everything that you taught Louisa. Show me more. The soul is nothing but a dark room. And the upright intention is like sun that enters into it and illuminates it. Fiat. Fiat brings in illumination. With this difference, the sun does not turn walls into light, while the upright working, this is what God is doing, transforms everything into light. Everything that you think, say, and do is transformed into light. It's to share in divinity. It's what the priest says every day at Holy Mass. Volume 11, 3:15, 19:12. It seems that the soul who do my divine will do nothing while they do everything. You know, think about it. When you're in front of the divine, you're in front of the Eucharist, say the monstrance, and you're doing your rounds, and it looks like you're just sitting there or kneeling there. What happens is you're changing the face of the earth. That's why I'm saying your prayers in the divine will are very powerful. Everything's happening in the church and the world today because of the souls living in the divine will. Your prayers are very powerful. It says, the souls who do my divine will do nothing while they, and in reality, it seems they do nothing, but in reality, they do everything because being my divine will, they act in a divine manner. It's Jesus that's doing it. You cannot do a divine thing. In the divine will, it's Jesus in you that's doing it. Jesus gaze in my gazing. Jesus beat in my heart beating. Jesus breathe in my breathing. That act is done in a divine manner. Why? Jesus is doing it. He takes us at our word. We live in our nothingness. Why? So Jesus can be there in a hidden and surprising way. So they are light that illuminates who? Your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners. By doing what? Looks like you're doing nothing. You walk in and you smile at someone. That's Jesus. Smiling. You walk into a room and your heart is beating. Jesus beat in my heart beating. Jesus is there. His heart is beating in your heart beating. It's healing them. You breathe, Jesus breathe in my breathing. That Ruah of God, that breath of God, is Jesus is breathing that in and breathing that out. It's healing everybody around you. This is not about being good and holy and saintly. It's about sharing in divinity. So they are light that illuminates. They are winds that purify. They are fire that burns. They are the miracles that make others do miracles. See, it's not about being good and holy and saintly. It's about sharing in divinity. Volume 11, 8, 12, 12. Since such is my love, symbolized by the sun, like majestic sun, it rises in the midst of everyone in your family, everyone in your neighborhood, everyone in your community, everyone in the world, past, present, and future. The face of the earth is being transformed. There is no mind that is not irradiated by my light. There is no heart which does not feel my heat. There is no soul that is not embraced by my love. It's Jesus. More than sun, I am. He uses the name of God. I am in the midst of everyone, past, present, and future, with the souls who are striving to live in the divine will. And now how few pay attention to me. I remain almost unobserved in their midst. I am not required by man. And yet I, God, continue to give light, heat, and love. If some soul pays attention to me, I, God, go mad, but without clamor, because being solid and fixed, truthful. My love is not subject to weakness. So here, weaknesses. So here Jesus is saying he wants to begin to transform the world. Through whom? Through us. That's the prayer of the church. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics. Enkindle us the fire of your love. That's the divine will. Send forth your spirit and we will be recreated. And you, Lord Jesus, will renew the face of the earth through us. Do you believe it? Do you believe that prayer? If you live in the divine will, there's no question. God is doing this. And he's using us, which are nothing. We're nobodies. He's doing it. We're allowing him to reign in us. And he said to Louisa, I want you to be my skin so that I can reign on earth. Just so, I, God, like your love for me. And if it were so, you too would become son for me. Do you want to become a son for Jesus? Would you want to become a son for your family, for everyone? He says, why? Because true love possesses all the qualities of the son. True quality. That's the title that the Vatican gave to the book. The son of my divine will. S-U-N of my divine will is Louisa Picaretta. And Jesus is saying to us, would you like this as well? Then he says, learn what I taught Louisa. Memorize what I taught Louisa. Why? Because Louisa memorized it. It's 36 volumes. You can be like that theologian I talked to in the Vatican. Who's going to read 36 volumes? I want to read 36 volumes. I want this more than anything. So what does Jesus say? How much do you know? What can I give you? Do you have enough coins? These are the truths. To possess this gift? Or do you know a few phrases? Do you know a couple of lines? You got a couple of pennies? You know, I love it when people say, well, I'm living in the divine will. Well, what do you know? Jesus says it's yours if you want it. Yeah. How do you get it? Well, it's just wanting it. No. It's to know this. Study it. Why? Jesus is speaking to us. You don't just listen to a phrase and go, hey, that's it. This is mine now. That might be the beginning, but to possess it fully, you have to know what Jesus is saying. You have to know it. Now, again, don't get discouraged. You know, it's read. What Jesus said to Louisa once is read, 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 basically. And she says, but I can't remember everything. He goes, don't worry, I'll remind you. So read. Just listen to Jesus. Every day, listen to Jesus speak to you. And this is so amazing. True love possesses all the qualities of the Son. On the other hand, a love that is not solid, fixed, truthful is symbolized by earthly fire, which is subject to variations. Its light is not capable of illuminating everyone. It is very gloomy light, filled mixed with smoke. Its heat is limited, and if it were not fed with wood, it dies down and turns into ash. And if the wood is green, it sputters and smokes. Such are the souls who are not completely for me, Jesus, as my true lovers. If they do a little bit of good, it is more clamor and smoke that comes out of their actions than light. So Jesus is saying to us, don't continue to do what you're doing. He says, begin to live this and watch what I will do for you. Volume 11, 4, 3, 15. If the earth did not have a heaven above that shows man the way so that he may recognize the different dangers that the earth contains, man would be bound now to fall, now to drown, etc. But there is a heaven above, especially a sun, that says to man in mute language, see, I have no eyes nor hands nor feet, yet I am the light of your eyes. I am the action of your hand. I am the step of your foot. And when I have to illuminate other regions, I leave you the sparkling of the stars and the moonlight to continue my office. Now, just as I gave to man a heaven for the good of his nature, to his soul too, more than noble, that is more noble, I gave the heavens of my divine will because the soul too contains precipices. I can see that. Thank you. Heights and crags that are passions, virtues, and tendencies. Now, and other things. Now, if the soul moves out from under the heaven of my divine will, she shall do nothing but fall from sin to sin. Passions shall drown her. The heights of virtue shall turn into abysses. So here, Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you the means to get out of your misery. And that's my gift of the divine will. Otherwise, you're going to spend a long time in purgatory if you get there. And that's what God is saying. He's saying, I can help you now. Therefore, just as everything would be disordered and infertile on the earth without a heaven, the same for the soul without my most holy divine will. This is what Jesus is giving to us. This is what Jesus wants us to be aware of. Volume 11, 12, 5, 16. As for the soul who do my divine will and live in it, then they are inside the engine itself. And since they live of me, God, they can dispose the waves that gush out for the good of others. Think about that. It's like a pump. You want water. What you're doing is you're giving those that are thirsty something to drink. It's a pump. It's an engine. God is using you in the divine will to save them. Don't worry about your family. You can't save them. Jesus can. He's the Savior. Mary can. She's the mother of all mankind. She works with Jesus. You can't do anything. If they haven't learned by the age of 12, good luck. They're going to have a hard time. But if you surrender them to Jesus and Mary, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Magic Heart of Mary, through Louisa, God's going to take care of them. Since they live of me, they can dispose the waves that gush out for the good of others and are now light that illuminates, now fire that ignites, now water that purifies. How beautiful it is to see these souls who live of my divine will coming out from within my engine like many other little engines, diffusing themselves for the good of everyone, past, present, and future. And then they return into the engine and disappear from the midst of the creatures. And as they live of me, Jesus, and me alone, it's to be one with Christ. It's to be one with Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. Volume 11, 2:17. My daughter, the world has become unbalanced, and that's where we are. We've been poisoned for all these years, to the point of we don't know what's up and what's down. We don't know what's normal and abnormal. Matter of fact, you can't even talk that way. It's to leave common sense. This is what Jesus is talking. The world has become unbalanced because it has lost the thought of my passion. See, that's why the Lord gives us during Lent the hours of the 24 hours of the passion. If find 24 people, God will show you, and put this into practice. Pray the rounds. Jesus said, those towns that pray the rounds, the chastisement will be lessened in those areas. I mean, there's always 24 people. Let me clue you. You'll be very surprised. He says, in darkness, it has not found the light of my passion that would illuminate it, and as though it would make known to it my divine love and how much souls cost me, and it might turn to loving the true God, the one who truly loved it, and the light of my passion. Guiding it, it would put it on its guard against all dangers. Nothing can harm you. Nothing bother you when you enter into the passion of Christ. That's why Mel Gibson's movie is so powerful. And if you haven't watched it because it's, ooh, I want to see Jesus go through it, you should watch it twice. You have to see what Jesus went through. If you don't, it's like spending time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. If you don't spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, in front of the monstrance, the Eucharist, you will never know the love of God. If you don't meditate on Christ crucified, you will not know the love of God. You have to see what Jesus went through. You know, and we were talking about this the other day, the scourging. There's three scourges, the stick that welts the skin, and then the whip that breaks the skin, and then the scourge that tears the skin off. That's what Jesus went through. And he was skinned. You have to see this. You have to see what he went through. In weakness, it is not found the strength of my passion that would sustain it. In weakness, you can't be freed until you're with Christ crucified. Embrace the cross. Kiss the cross. Don't be afraid of the cross. And a cross is not just the cross. It's Christ crucified on the cross. That's the power of God. That's the glory of God. And the devil would rather have you put a flower on the cross or a dove on the cross or a word on the cross. They don't want to see Christ crucified on the cross. That's the power of God. That's the glory of God. Have Christ crucified. And you see Christ crucified. Volume 12, 9, 28, 17. The acts done in my divine will are like suns that illuminates everyone, past, present, and future. Every thought, every word, every deed are like suns that illuminate all of mankind. Illuminate your family, your friends, everyone, everyone. And as long as the act of the creature in my divine will lasts, more than one more sun shines, that in the blind minds and those who have a little bit of good will find the light to escape from the...
precipice.
As for the others, they shall all perish. Therefore, in these times of darkness, how much good the acts of the creature done in my divine will do. See, this is so dark out there. How much good will your acts done in the divine will, what they will accomplish? For those who shall escape, it shall only be by virtue of these acts. Those that escape hell will only be escaping hell by the virtue of the acts that you witness. Volume 12, 11, 27, 17. But the sanctity of living in my divine will exempt from personal interest, from waste of time. There is no danger that they might mistake the virtue for me, because I am myself living in my most holy divine will. The sanctity of living in the divine will is exempt from personal interest. It's not to become holy. It's not a waste of time. He says, because I am living in the divine will. We participate in God. Think about that. This was the sanctity of my most holy humanity on earth, and therefore it did everything and for everyone without the shadow of interest. Self-interest takes away the mark of divine sanctity. If you're doing this, I've heard people say, I'm going to have a high place in heaven. If you're doing this for a high place in heaven, the mark of divinity is gone. It's for the glory of God. It's for the praise of God. It's for the love of God. Therefore, it can never be a sun. At the most, as beautiful as it can be a star. This is why I, God, want the sanctity of living in my divine will in these times that are so sad. This generation, your family, your friends, your neighbors, needs these suns, that it may warm it, illuminate it, fundicate it. This interest of these terrestrial angels, this is us, all for the good of others, without the shadow of their own self, shall open the way in their hearts that they will receive God's grace. Your family will receive this. Don't worry about a thing. Live in the divine will. Focus on the divine will. Watch what God is going to do. So we'll end there. We're going to have a rosary, holy mass, and lunch. and we'll be back in 2 hours. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.